States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, in our education segment, we begin a four-part series by Dr. Kent Allen on understanding the USEF FEI medication rules. But before that, we're going to remember the life of Major Anders Lindgren, who was inducted into the Rimmer Foundation USDF Hall of Fame in 2003. But first, the national championships were awarded at the 2015 Markel USEF Young and Developing Horse National Championships. The six-year-old national champion honours went to Lisa Wilcox with Horses Unlimited's Zweibrücker Stallion, Gallant Reflection HU. They achieved an overall score of 8.136. The Developing Horse Grand Prix National Championship title went to Wake Up, an American warm-blood stallion bred by Beverly McLean with rider and owner Emily Miles. They scored 69.934%. Wake Up has earned championships at this competition previously, where he won the Young Horse Division in 2011 and in 2013 returned to win the Developing Horse Prix Saint-Georges. And now for our continuing series in which we remember the inductees to the Rimmer Foundation USDF Hall of Fame. Major Anders Lindgren was inducted into the USDF Rimmer Foundation Hall of Fame in 2003 in recognition of his seminal training of US dressage instructors. Over a 10-year period, almost 1,000 participating instructors learned from his systematic, structured approach to teaching dressage at the USDF Violet Hopkins National Seminars. Lindgren was an early proponent of the USDF Instructor Certification Program, and his work laid the foundation for this program. Major Lindgren first entered the world of US dressage in 1981, when Colonel Aj Sommer brought him to Violet Hopkins Farm in Michigan for the first USDF National Instructors Seminar. Lindgren was an accomplished rider, having won the Swedish Dressage National Championships and ridden on the Swedish Olympic team in 1972. He also won the Scandinavian Eventing Championships in 1959. Major Lindgren occupies a unique position in US dressage. He convinced American riders and instructors that we needed a systematic, structured approach to the teaching of dressage. Prior to his participation in the National Instructors Seminar, the curriculum consisted primarily of lectures. Lindgren taught instructors how to create lesson plans and how to design and use specific exercises for both horse and rider. He was one of the first instructors to use cones to establish a pattern of riding in an arena to teach how a movement should be ridden and how an aid should be given to the horse. The cone technique has been widely adopted. From 1981 to 1991, Lindgren organized and taught the USDF National Instructors Seminar. He presented well-organized and logical lectures to the participating instructors. Demonstration riders served as students for the instructors, whose performance in teaching was critiqued by Lindgren and other participants, thus providing the instructors with concrete analysis of his or her teaching technique with avenues for improvement. Major Lindgren organized and taught more than 50 USDF regional instructors' workshops that followed the format of the national seminars. Dressage instructors from Alaska to Texas and from California to Florida received consistent training in how to teach dressage. Dressage clubs, including the New England Dressage Association, the Northern Ohio Dressage Association, and the Rocky Mountain Dressage Society, sponsored Lindgren's instructor training workshops for their members on a regular basis. In addition to the instructor seminar, Major Lindgren brought FEIO judge Eric Lette and Swedish Olympic dressage team member Kira Kirkland to the US to conduct USDF National Symposia, which were the logical extension of the instructor's seminar. Hundreds of professional and amateur dressage instructors and students have benefited from Lindgren's teaching. His students have competed successfully nationally and internationally at the FEI levels and include Lilo Four, Alexandra Howard, and Kira Kirkland. Major Lindgren was an early proponent of instructor certification and urged the USDF to establish such a program as the logical outgrowth of the regional workshops. His vision culminated in the establishment of this independent program in 1990, in which more than 1,000 people now participate each year. The profession of dressage instructor was established in the US because of Anders Lindgren's foresight and persistence in developing a curriculum based on a set of techniques, lectures, exercises, and standards for measuring the ability of a dressage instructor. He has had a widespread and enduring impact on riders, instructors, trainers, and judges who participated in his seminars, clinics, and symposia. His national influence on thousands of dressage riders and instructors is best illustrated by the USDF's current teaching programs. And to learn more about the inductees to the Rimmer Foundation USDF Hall of Fame, please visit the website at usdf.org and click on the tab for Hall of Fame. And finally, in our education segment this week, we begin a four-part series by Dr. Kent Allen on understanding the USEF FEI medication rules.
We're going to go ahead and try to cover some areas. I know you all have had a lot of different lectures and covering a wide area of veterinary medicine. This one is going to focus on compliance with the USEF and the FEI medication rules, how you can stay compliant, how not to test positive. We're going to cover a lot of different areas here. Dr. Steve Schumacher here is the staff veterinarian for the USEF Drug and Medication Program, and he's been kind enough here to join us. So let's start through this and talk about what we can do for the equine athlete in regards of appropriate medication and what is inappropriate medication. First, we'll start with the statement that we are all horsemen or horsewomen, and our goal is to have a fair, level playing field competition and to appropriately treat the equine athlete if needed. We would also appropriately not show the horse or withdraw the horse if the horse has a problem that it should not be competing with. And certainly, I think we all agree with any attempts to mask a problem and continue the horse to compete. Several times we'll talk about our level playing field, and that is the philosophy by which we start this with. The goal is the person who should win the competition is the best rider and horse combination, not the person who is the cleverest at medicating their horse. Okay, and I think we're all agreed upon that, and we'll talk about some of the various tricks that get played in that regard and how you can also kind of trip up inadvertently. Who is the person responsible? In FEI speak, it is the rider, okay, person responsible. In USEF speak, it is the trainer, but then that responsibility can be spread by whoever has care, custody, control of the horse. And that may be the owner, that may be the trainer, that may be the rider. There's a variety of different approaches to that. One very basic thing is that if you train the horse and have care, custody, and control of it in your barn, then de facto you are the trainer, okay? If your horse only goes to meet the trainer to take a lesson and see them occasionally at the shows, that is a coach. And there's a separate line on the entry form for that. And so it should be filled out appropriately. Nevertheless, really no matter what you write there, there will be, if there's a positive drug test, there's a bit of an investigation by the Office of USEF Drug and Medication, and also rules compliance to determine who has care, custody, and control of the horse, because that's what matters in the end. So why would we medicate these horses? These horses get transported to the competitions. They work hard at the competitions. There's a variety of medical conditions that would require some form of treatment. One of the more common ones is gastric ulceration. And gastric ulceration is a very common phenomena in the performance horse, because all you have to do to create gastric ulceration in a dressage horse, for example, is simply feed it with grain, stand it in a stall, and exercise it. And that will very nicely create gastric ulcers. And we talked earlier in one of our sessions about how there is the odd dressage horse that might need to go on a diet. You'll see the more you give it grain, the larger you make that abdominal mass, the more that mass slams into the stomach and splashes acid all up into the squamous area, the more likely you are to have ulcers. So the good news is the medication rules provide for that. If your horse does have ulcers or ulceration, there's a simple way to medicate the horse. And so we know it's a common problem with the way that we manage our horses. So it should tell you two things. Good news is the medication rules provide for that, no problem, no forms, easy to treat, easy to do. Second is you should think about your management of your horses. A little bit slimmer dressage horses and perhaps ones that get out on the grass a bit more would be indicated. Other things that commonly occur to horses that are showing, that you very nicely clean out the stall that they're going to be in for that weekend at the competition, and you bed it with nice new shavings, and you feel very good about it, and you turn your horse in, and it takes a nice roll, and then 6 hours later, you come back, and they got hives everywhere, okay? And that is contact urticaria. They're sitting there itching at that, very uncomfortable for the horses, certainly not life-threatening. One of the first things you can do is just simply hose them off with cold water, and if it is a contact urticaria, like, then you're washing the irritant off, oftentimes from the shaving. Sometimes it's from insects, sometimes from clipping the horse and then exposing them to sunlight. So there's a variety of different reasons. And this is also something a little bit more complicated to medicate this under USEF rules and FEI, but we'll talk about that as we go along. And certainly something that would require treatment and often, in severe cases, withdrawal of the horse, that is tying up. And when you do see that, these horses are very reluctant to bring that limb or sometimes both hind limbs forward, and it's very painful to the horse, and those horses require fluids, non-steroidals, often acepromazine to reduce the, increase the circulation in the muscles, and, you know, particularly those horses that are requiring that extensive a treatment may have to be withdrawn from the competition. So another thing we see is tendonitis. Now, obviously, if we're identifying tendonitis, we're preferring to pull these horses out of the competition because the goal should be treatment. And I'm sure you've heard numerous things on new treatments for tendonitis, some very exciting treatments, platelet-rich plasma, IRAP, a variety of things. But here the goal is on identifying, diagnosing the problem, treating it, withdrawing the horse from the competition, and then appropriately treating it and rehabbing it. So let's talk about what can cause a positive drug test. And we're going to talk about several classifications within the USEF drug rule. Some are permitted drugs, in which USEF has no particular regulations on it. Some are forbidden drugs, and forbidden drugs can have legitimate therapeutic uses, and there's another portion of the rule that provides for that. And then there are the restricted drugs, and that's what we'll talk about here first. This is a commonly used group of restricted level drugs. They can be used, no forms are needed, but they have to be used with dose and time restrictions to stay within the rules. And these are a group of drugs that you're probably all pretty familiar with, and probably the newest additions to the group are Surpass, which came on about a year or two ago, and is a topical drug that can be rubbed onto the skin and will absorb through the skin. And then Equiox, which is spirococcib, which is a new one. Interesting part about Equiox is all of these other medications, Surpass is not much of an issue because it's topical and is absorbed largely locally and minorly in a systemic fashion. All the other drugs, however, are systemic nonsteroidals. Systemic nonsteroidals of this class, which is called the cyclooxygenase, there's a quiz on this later, by the way, guys. The COX-1 is COX, is how we abbreviate it. But these are COX-1 inhibitors, okay? And they're great. They have excellent anti-inflammatory effects. They have pain relief effect. Same reason you take ibuprofen, okay? You get a headache, okay? You want anti-inflammatory and pain relief. They do that job very well. Same problem with ibuprofen and Aleve and those sort of things is these drugs cause stomach upset and with chronic use, some kidney damage eventually, okay? And that's why all of these drugs have time and dose. We say all of those drugs can't be used past 5 days, okay? And then you have to give the horse at least 2 days off of them before you start them again. Equiox is the exception to that. This is a COX-2 inhibitor, okay? And a COX-2 inhibitor does not have much in the way of stomach or kidney problems, okay? And this drug can be used up to 14 days in a row, if need be. So it's a different class drug. It's a class of drug that is in the Vioxx, Celebrex category, except that the cardiac issues, arteriosclerosis, horses really don't have arteriosclerosis. So we don't have the same cardiac issues that has the concern of the COX-2 drugs in people. So you can rest comfortably with that. You're not going to cause heart attacks in your horses. Okay, that's not a problem. And so we really don't have to worry about that. But the good news on that particular drug is it's really easy on the stomach. And I see some clients who tell me, oh, well, you know, gosh, Dobbin here has a little bit of problems at the horse shows, and so I give him Gastroguard and Bute, okay? And we've all heard this. Gosh, an epiphany for you here, guys. Save yourself some money. You can take all this money I'll save you here, and you can go out and really buy a nice saddle now. But you don't need the Gastroguard unless you need it for a separate issue. Use the Equiox, okay, and it won't cause the gastric upset. If that's the horse's issue, then it's a non-issue, and we can resolve that easily. So, you know, there's your clever tip for the day. So then other groups of medications that can cause positive drug tests would be the corticosteroids. Now, azium or dexamethasone is in our restricted category. That is, there is a dose and time recommendation of how you can safely use it, and I'm going to go through that. Now, all the other corticosteroids, by necessity, when we did this rule, because the same people that were abusing azium would simply switch to another corticosteroid. So all the other corticosteroids became forbidden. But we've already talked about that there's a very rational way to legitimately use therapeutic doses and approaches of corticosteroids through our USEF rule. So I'm going to come back to that. But so I don't want anybody to panic. Okay, it's fine. We're going to show you a way to appropriately use those. Okay, and we'll talk about the different types then. These are the commonly used ones in joint injections. And we'll talk about that since joint injections have a very legitimate place in equine sports medicine treatment and are the gold standard of treatment for joints. So, and just now starting to join that ranks is the IRAP.
And we'll be continuing this four-part series on next week's episode. These audio clips are excerpts from the Riding for the Vet DVDs, which can be found in the USDF's online store at usdf.org. And whilst you're there, be sure to check out the Adequan USDF annual convention schedule, in which Dr. Allen will be part of the education lineup for this year. The convention takes place from December the 2nd through the 5th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you can, of course, find all the latest educational resources on the website by following the link to eTrack. And if you listen to these shows online, you might like to know that they are available for download to any smartphone podcast app. Just go to iTunes and look for the USDF in the podcast store. And that's it until next week. In the meantime, you can keep up with all the latest news and information via our social media on Facebook and Twitter. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.